Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Covenants Podcast. Here with me today, we have Megan and Jessica and Brooke, and I'm your host today, Grace. Last week, we took some time diving into what it looks like to really combat our fear and anxiety, and these ladies were able to give us so much wisdom and so many personal experiences, so I'm really excited to see what they have to say today. Our topic for today is the comparison trap. So my first question for you ladies is, why is it dangerous that we always want to compare ourselves to others around us?
Does anyone want to take this one?
Do you want to take it?
Go ahead if you got something.
Well, I just find women like to talk. I don't know if you guys know that. Men, not so much. They look. They don't really talk. And so a lot of times with women who do seem to talk a lot, you know, I'll talk to Brooke and she's like, I was spending time with the Lord this morning. Girl, I was praying for an hour and I just thought about you. And then I went for a walk with Bo. And then the Lord really started speaking to me. And I just wanted to give you this. And I remember, like, at times I have said, Lord, I really want that time that Brooke has with you. And it's not that I'm envious of Brooke. It's just different times in our lives, our seasons are going to look a lot different.
Yeah.
And so whereas one woman might have the morning, another lady may go home and have evenings where she doesn't watch television and she spends 2 hours in the Word at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And so I think a lot of times we fail to forget that God has us on a journey. Mm-hmm. And that journey is going to look different from a lot of different aspects. Mm-hmm. It may be that we're so into the Word that we're not focusing on anything else. Mm-hmm. It could be that we're just diving into worship and we're really receiving a lot of His promises through worship. It could be that we're in a devotional or we're reading maybe like a self-help book or something like that. And so there's different seasons that look different. But I really feel like the enemy just wants us so focused on everyone else. Mm-hmm. That we are no longer being used for what God's trying to get us to be used for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so with myself, I try really hard not to just always focus on what I'm doing, making sure that I'm accountable for me. Like Claudette says, you just got to worry about your little red wagon. That's it. You don't have to worry about everybody else's.
Yeah.
And so for me, I have to just constantly refocus on what I'm doing to make sure that I'm doing what I need to be doing and not so much worried about what everyone else's schedules or what their lives or what their seasons look like.
That's
so true. And the thing I've learned with comparison is anytime I look at somebody else's life or what they have or what I don't have, I have taken my eyes off Jesus.
Absolutely.
So to look at others, I have to take my eyes off Him.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's good.
And I've learned too that comparison blocks love.
That's right.
And we know that comparison is, I mean, it's dangerous.
Yeah,
it is so dangerous. But we all, like you said, we have to take inventory. I'm like, okay, what's going on in my heart that is making me feel like this?
Yeah,
and
right.
Comparison is rooted in selfishness. And
absolutely.
Selfishness is, I mean, it's demonic.
Right.
It's when you're always worried about just not being enough, not having enough. Am I not getting enough? And you can't appreciate the other people in the kingdom.
Right.
And encourage them along the way.
Mm-hmm. It leaves you feeling icky because, like you said, it's rooted in envy and selfishness. And I think that's the danger of it, is because we don't want our heart to be full of those things.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have a heart full of love. And honestly, I know anytime I've struggled with comparison, it's like you said, I took my eyes more off the Father and was focusing on other people. But it's hard to combat yourself on your own.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember being a teenager and I was always a very jealous, envious and jealousy kind of go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
But it was because I wasn't confident in who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was on medicine for that. Because I would just get so worked up over it that it was ruining all my relationships.
Mm.
And so that's the danger in it, because whenever you're living in that, I mean, it feels terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not experiencing God like you should be. You're not experiencing your own life like you should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found eventually I had always read my Bible at night, but it was more out of just a tradition of like, hey, I'm going to read a chapter a night, you know, my thing. Not really to grow closer to God, just to read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But like whenever I started discovering more of who God is, it's like he became the most important person.
Right. Right.
And when he's the most important person, you're experiencing the love that he has for you. Mm-hmm. And out of that love mm-hmm. that he has, your love for others kind of pours out of you.
That's so true.
And honestly, I just started noticing without even trying that relationships were getting better, that I was loving people instead of being envious.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was caring more about that person than what they have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if you can look at a person and love them and be happy for them with what they have, you know that that's the love of the Father.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And comparison will keep you from weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what, you don't know what's going on in their mind.
Right.
And I think it was Stephen Furtick who said, you know, we judge people's on stage performance, having no clue what's going on behind the stage.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we just have to remember, like you said, they're on their own journey and we can celebrate them and encourage them in that.
Yeah.
I would definitely say that. I think comparison has been one of the biggest joy stealers in my life.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because the Lord, I naturally am so gifted that he's given me a lot of joy and I love to share it with others. And the minute I begin to compare myself with someone else, not only am I stealing my own joy away, but I'm stealing their joy away because I can't celebrate with them like you said. And it's so important that, you know, as a body of Christ, if you're feeling down, I'm going to come and cry with you. Mm-hmm. If you're ready to celebrate, I'm going to jump up and down with you.
Right.
But if we're comparing ourselves and kicking each other while we're down or bragging from the top of a mountain, you're losing that unity and it's just creating distrust among all of us. So
that kind of made me think because yesterday I wrote this verse down. It says, don't, in Romans 12, 9 through 10, it says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them.
Mm-hmm.
Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the thing. Don't just rejoice with somebody just because, hey, I'm called to rejoice with you. It's more of like, it comes from the heart.
Yeah. Absolutely.
This Christian walk, it's not a competition.
That's so true.
And like, I'm a competitive kind of girl. For real. I love
to win.
It is
a race.
Right. It is a race, but we are all side by side. And if you just worry about everybody else, like, I don't know if you've ever ran. I don't run unless someone's chasing me. So, but like, if you're running and you're paying attention to who else is going, before you know it, you're not going as fast anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can stumble. And so I think when you compare yourself to others, you're doing a disservice to yourself because you're no longer able to edify and help and to build up.
Mm-hmm.
You're just so focused on yourself.
That was
and you just slow down.
I remember listening to Christine Kane and she was talking about, it was a whole message, stay in your own lane.
Right.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah. Because when you're focused on that.
Yeah. And the enemy will try to, especially when you least expect that things are going along great, he'll just put a little nudge in your ear and rub your nose in what you don't have.
Right.
And what I like to do is when that happens to me, just to make him mad, I'll encourage someone or I will,
that's
like
good.
For me, sometimes to see the different stages that families are at and knowing, okay, Brooke, you're not going to have that. He loves to rub my nose in what I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know what I start doing? I start praying for the parents of those children that, oh my goodness, they're raising kingdom changers. God, they're going to, and just start praying over them. That makes the devil so mad because what you do is you just turn it around on him. Mm-hmm. You are not going to win. And so I think sometimes the thing you need to do the most is probably the thing you want to do the least when you're faced with a lie of the enemy.
And I've been on the other side of that text message. I know that you've sent me messages like that before. And, you know, that's something that we can do to strengthen each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't know the heart behind why that text was sent.
Mm-hmm.
But then hearing it that way, that's something that she was struggling with. And so it's just almost, it's like it means so much more because you realize that in order to fight our battles, sometimes we have to have some scars. And it can be ugly and it can be a reminder of that thing, but the very opposite of what you think you should do is what God's asking you to do. Sometimes he just doesn't make a lot of earthly sense in how we go about doing things, but he releases us each time from a place that we could have been stuck in.
Right. Yeah. And we really are stronger when we link arms, like we're in this together.
Yeah.
You are not my competition. Yeah. And I've learned to thank the Lord for those super talented people that you're like, oh my word. I've started thinking, Lord, thank you that they're using their talent for your kingdom. They could be using that talent
right.
for the world.
Absolutely.
But they're using that for you. Yeah. Thank you so much. And mm-hmm. so you just turn the tables on the devil.
Yeah.
He's a liar.
Amen. You're a jerk.
Oh my goodness, I hate him so bad.
Yeah. I think that's where your true power is going to come in, is when you decide that you're not going to stand for it and you start speaking life over the ones that you want to envy the most. I think that's where you're really going to find power over comparison.
Right.
Yeah. And God knows the desires of your heart, and he's not going to leave you forsaken. So even those things that you do want, continue to pray for those things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, he knows.
Yeah.
And he will give you exactly what you need.
Yeah.
So right. You never have to worry.
No.
Amen. Mm. Jessica, you were talking about those scars that sometimes we have to get when we're combating things. What are some of the scars that you guys have from the past of comparison? Like, what have you guys struggled with comparing yourself to others?
There's so many. You know, as young girls, sometimes you start out with like body image comparisons, and it's very shallow comparisons.
Yeah.
Those are sometimes harder to overlook because society-wide, they seem stupid. Mm-hmm. And so people don't really like to talk about those things as much. And so when I was younger, I, of course, compared myself to everyone else. Every girl does. Every guy does, really, to some extent. But when I started reading the Word, and I knew that God sent his son for me, and he would have done it just for me. It wouldn't have had to be anybody else. It could have been just for me. And when I got a revelation of that, I thought, I don't have to pretend to be anything that I'm not. I don't have to keep up. Amen. You know, even a family name, you don't have to keep that up. Yeah. You don't have to keep up this bubbly personality if sometimes you just want to be sad. Mm-hmm. Because God, he wraps his arms around you when you're sad, and he rejoices with you when you're glad. Right. You know, he's always there. And so over the years, I really just feel like reading the Word and really taking in what his Word says about me. You can read the Word to learn knowledge, but then you can read it so that you can be in relationship with that guy who just loves you and just wants to be around you. And so the comparison can stop, and you can take it captive when you realize who you are in Christ. And you can stop those thoughts in the midst of them happening. And sometimes you have to do that. I mean, I come from a big friend group. There are times that some of them get together and I don't get invited. And so I want to sit at home and sulk. And we've all talked about it. Sometimes it hurts. Being left out hurts. But what I say in that moment is, God, I know that what I'm feeling is not what you want me to feel. So I want you to help me take that thought captive and realize that it was probably a last minute thing. I just wasn't there. It wasn't some preconceived something. And so a lot of times we just have to remember, not everybody's out to get us. You know?
Yeah.
And the devil loves to make us think everybody's out to get us, and it's not about that.
No. Yeah, and he does do that, and he'll have you thinking people are talking about
right.
you, and really sometimes you just need to know you're not that important.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. Sounds so mean.
And honestly, most of the times I don't want to go. You just want the invitation.
That's true. That is so true.
That's so true.
Yes. Yeah. That was so good. Last week I talked about Song of Solomon, but he has engraved some of those verses on my heart. And I say to myself almost every night, I am truly his rose, the very theme of his song. I'm overshadowed by his love growing in the valley. Mm. And the thought of being overshadowed means he's going with me. There's nowhere I can go that he's not.
Right.
And the thing is, he is in love with me, and we get to choose every day. Are we going to respond to that love? Or are we going to ignore him?
Yeah.
And when, like you said, when you realize the depths to which you're loved, why would you compare?
Because
yourself
that's why
else?
You compare. You're seeking love.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeking
affirmation,
attention. You're seeking that. And whenever you are seeking it in humans, it's always going to fail you.
Yeah.
Every single time. Mm-hmm. Humans are so imperfect, and you cannot put those expectations on people.
Right.
And if you don't want to have someone who fail you, I highly suggest Jesus. Ding, ding, ding. Because he's perfect, and he's perfect in the way he loves. God's perfect in the way he loves you. And so, I mean, that's, I mean, I can relate that back to every single thing that I've ever been envious of. It's because I was wanting approval.
Right. Wow. Yeah. That's so true.
And so whenever he approves you, you don't have to worry about all those things anymore.
I think my biggest comparison struggle over the past year, because I've been married for just a little over a year, was that I was determined to be the absolute best housewife ever, while also, you know, still working a 40-hour-a-week job and helping with the kiddos here and stuff. So I thought the house had to be pristine, and I had to have a pie in the oven when he got home, and all his clothes had to be cleaned, you know,
twice a week. Can we wipe this
out? Because
my husband does not need to know that other people do this.
Well, so I thought. But so that was the first 6 months, and I was creating, like, almost a tension because I – that tension was just coming from me wanting his approval so bad. And eventually he was just like, Grace, like, you don't have to do all of this stuff. I just love you because you're you. And I love that I have clean clothes and good food. Like, that's good. He would be hungry and smell bad if it wasn't for that. But whenever he decided to come alongside of me more as a partnership, and we figured that out after, like, the first 6 months of marriage, I stopped comparing myself to the perfect wife and what my house should look like. And sometimes it's messy, and sometimes I have my small group girls over, and I'm like, oh, just move that shoe. Oh, you can sit on that. Is that blanket clean? It might smell like the cat. And that's just where I'm at in life right now, and I'm okay with that because that's me, and my husband's content with it, and we're content in the Lord right now. So just finding your joy in who you are in him and not having to compare myself to all the other ladies is so powerful.
And it's funny how they fall more in love with you when you are confident in who you are in Christ. Because when you're not so clingy and when you're not so needy for everything, it's like, oh, I love you so much more like this.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. I think it's just important for us to find what we're good at.
Yeah.
I can't stand on my head for 30 minutes and make a ministry out of yoga. That's not me. I'm not a stellar boy mom who can just rock hair and everything.
True that.
And I'm not the best intercessory prayer who people are going to go to all the time. No. But, like, my God has given me so many talents and so many things to offer others.
Right.
Even if other people don't know that, it doesn't matter because I know that. Exactly. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Not to sound cocky, but you just have to find that confidence in him.
And if he knit us together individually and knows the hairs of our head, just think how he has created us to each have that individual personality and those unique gifts and those unique offerings for the world. And that whenever we fully come into, like, knowledge of what those are, I mean, Satan is constantly trying to get us to not be who we are. And so whenever you realize who he created you to be, I mean, it releases you to live in, like, the freedom that Christ really initially had envisioned for everyone.
Yes.
There's so much power in knowing that just you're his. That's all you need. You might have other gifts and things that he's given you, but ultimately I'm his, and that's good. I'll take that any day.
And that's freedom, like she said. And your comparison of the wife and the husband makes me think of how we constantly try to do things for the Lord. Like, this is going to make him happy. He's going to love me more. And he's like, I just want you. I just want you to be happy. How can I help you? And that's why we're called to co-labor with him. He wants to do it with us.
That's good.
Makes a big difference. So when we talk about getting to that point of that freedom and just where you can breathe and realize that you're not perfect, but you're his. What would you guys say that it's important to lay down or important to pray through or really fight through to get to that point? What's worked for you guys?
Oh, goodness. That's like a loaded question.
It is.
I know sometimes when we're just spent and we're just busy and we're doing so much, we can miss out on exactly the thing that he wants us to do. And a lot of times, if we're not doing what he's called us to be, what he put me on this earth for, it's easy for me to start looking at other people. But when I feel that he's happy in what I'm doing, then I'm actually moving forward. And so for me, a lot of times when I'm doing something that God's calling me to do, I'll kind of lay it all down. Mm-hmm. I'm a mom that obviously can't go anywhere. I know he's going to let me keep that one.
They're stuck.
I'm a hairdresser. He could wipe that one right out. Mm-hmm. I love to be in friend groups and around big groups of people. He can wipe it out. I like to sing. He can take that one away. Sometimes you have to lay down the things that you so strongly want to hold on to, mm-hmm. so that he can give them right back to you.
Yeah.
But we're scared to death to lay that thing down.
Yeah.
And so when I'm really trying to seek what he's wanting me to do, I just lay it all down. And I'm mm-hmm. like, Lord, I know that you've given me these gifts, mm-hmm. but I know at any moment you can take them away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be okay with that, mm-hmm. because I know your plan's greater.
Right.
And
right.
so for me, I legit write it on a card, mm-hmm. lay it down on a table. You can have all seven mm-hmm. of these things back. And I'm not going to say anything until you give them back to me. And sometimes it's a really long time. And sometimes it's immediate.
That's good. And with comparison, sometimes we'll jump into things where we see other people are like,
right.
Well, they're doing great in that. I bet I'm supposed to do that too.
Right.
And so that's why it's important to lay those things like, okay, God, this was maybe my plan, maybe your plan, but I'm confused right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's important to do what you said. And sometimes right. the most spiritual thing you can do is rest, because
mm-hmm.
that reminds yeah. you, that reminds you, okay, God's got this.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need me. He wants me. He loves me. He adores me.
Right.
But you know what? If I'm just going to sit here for the next year, and I told the Lord this past week, if you just want me to sit right here and just minister to you for a year or the rest of my life, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, obviously there's work to do, girl. So.
If you guys had to just leave the audience today with one tip or a Bible verse or something that has helped you overcome comparison, what would that be?
I would say take a moment, stop what you're doing, get to a really quiet place, and I want you to grab a piece of paper and a pen, and I want you to say, God, what do you think of me?
That's good.
And when these thoughts start flooding through your mind, start writing it down. Because a lot of times we confuse discernment and mm-hmm. hearing what God mm-hmm. wants to say because we think it's our voice. But if it's in line with the word, he's just pouring it out.
Yeah.
I would say, ask the Father, who do you say I am?
Mm-hmm.
And let him start building you up with those affirmations so that you can quit looking to other people for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good.
And just take a moment and really listen, because he wants to talk to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, he wants to spend every moment with us,
mm-hmm.
and we miss it all too often.
I specifically remember doing that, like, whenever Brooke had a Bible study, Becoming Myself, and I had never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
I had never wrote out how I thought God felt about me. And I thought that would be, like, very selfish to do.
Yeah.
But whenever I did, I mean, it was like he started pouring in what was truth.
Mm-hmm.
This is how he sees me. And especially yeah. whenever we're covered with the blood of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
I mean, his righteousness is on us. And whenever he looks at you, he sees God's Son.
Right.
And when you start understanding that,
mm-hmm.
and that you don't have to be perfect,
mm-hmm.
You're already made perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you don't have to strive so much. Just receive who God sees you as. Receive
mm-hmm.
Receive everything that he has to offer you, because
right.
there's so much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that he wants to be your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be that friend that sticks closer than a brother,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can always remember that, and you know that he's there. And I think that whenever I wrote that list out, I remember that just being a game changer for me, because I just cried and cried and cried.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I don't know, it was just something that shifted in my heart whenever.
Because sometimes he points out things that we might not like about ourselves, or we try to calm down. Like, I'm a loud person, and I love to laugh, and I love humor. And one of the things that God said to me was, I love your laughter.
Aww.
And like, I circled it, because
mm-hmm.
that's something I tried to shut down for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I want that little girl back.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so good.
That's good.
That's
that
really
good.
Good. And I'll just say, just when they were talking, I'll springboard off what they said. You know, in John 17, Jesus is praying for us,
yeah.
the disciples.
Yeah.
And then he turns the prayer to us, and he says, Father, show them that I love, that you love them with the same intensity you love me.
Right.
Amen. And so sometimes we forget that God loves us with the same intensity mm-hmm. he loved Jesus. And yeah. when we realize that, it really is a game changer, like Megan
yeah.
said.
Yeah.
It's good.
That's powerful. Thank you so much, ladies, for sharing all the things you said today. I know that I have a lot of things even to think about and challenge myself a little bit more with comparison after today. So mm-hmm. thank y'all for that. Friends who are listening or watching, thanks for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time. And be sure that if you have any topics that you would like discussed, just email those to covenantchurchnc1@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.